Daniel chapter 8, verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulay. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And we'll stop right there. You can be seated. And let's pray, and then we'll look at these verses tonight. Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you tonight that we have the privilege of opening the precious, perfect, unadulterated Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can take it and proclaim it. And then, Lord, I pray that you give us understanding of it, and may your perfect and precious name be exalted tonight. May we understand the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you give us the Spirit of God and reveal the Scriptures to us and show us those that are there. And God, we'll give you the praise for what you're going to accomplish. Help us, Lord, tonight. Forgive us of our sin and open our minds of understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let me give you just a few things to say and get started in the book of Daniel chapter 8. The 8th chapter of Daniel will prove to you that your Bible is authorized and it's real. And it proves its point tonight. Matter of fact, you could take chapter 7, you could take chapter 2, and you could find out that the Bible is real by just those chapters. And tonight, the 8th chapter, and it's been known by many that it's the chapter that will prove to you, if you didn't have anything else, it proved to you the Word of God. Now, in chapters 1 through 6, we find Daniel's friends. And we find the access of what the problems they had in the first 6 chapters. Now, from chapter number 7 on through chapter number 12, you find Daniel's people. And you find that you're going to find the future of his people, the Jews, the Israelites. Now, that's what it's about. Now, I want to throw this in tonight. If this don't mean a whole lot to, as far as trying to interpret the Scriptures, but it does just for recognition and also just for information. The first chapter, chapter number 1 through chapter 2, verse number 3, the first 3 verses of chapter number 3, are written in the Hebrew language. Now remember that, written in the Hebrew language. You remember the Bible is given to us in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. You remember that, the 3 languages? I've said this many times before, those 3 languages. Now chapter number 2, starting with verse number 4, on up through chapter number 7, all the way through chapter number 7, it's written in Aramaic. And then when you come to chapter number 8, through the remainder of the book of Daniel, in the original tongues, it's written in Hebrew. Now, there's a reason for that, and you look at this. The Gentiles were in control from chapter number 2 on through chapter number 7 in a main way. And you see all this. And that's the language of the Gentiles, the Aramaic there in that particular place. In the first chapter, we're finding the Jews are there. And, of course, we find Daniel and his friends. And that's in Hebrew. And then from chapter number 8 on through the remainder of the chapter, it's in Hebrew, showing that it's God's people that's involved. Now, looking at these things, it's just good to keep in your knowledge to know. We're going to talk about the ram and the goat vision tonight. Amen. That's what it is. We see another vision that Daniel has had. In chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he had a vision, saw that image, and that great image, and that ended up being a broad view of the four world empires. Remember them now, don't you? And they are the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. The reason I said it is so good about the Scripture is, this is prophesied to take place in chapter number 2. Before it ever take place, the only thing that was going on then was the Babylonian Empire. And we'll find that all these others in history, you can go back and see that it lays just word for word with the Word of God, and that lets us know tonight that our Bible is authoritative and come from God. Remember that there's prophecy. Prophecy has been given and fulfilled in the book of Daniel. There are still some prophecies that have not been fulfilled. There's some that's still yet future. So keep that in mind. When we come to chapter number 7, we found a vision and a dream that Daniel had, and Daniel gave the dream and its interpretation in chapter number 7, and had four beasts. You remember the four beasts? And those represented in more detail the four kingdoms upon the earth. The Medo-Persian, the Babylonian before that, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And remember, there's four animals that were involved in that. What were they? You remember that? The lion, and we'll find the bear, the leopard, and then a real beast, amen, that you can't put any kind of, it's just a conglomeration of them. If you remember, when we was in the seventh chapter, that when we got to the last one, the revival of, or the revived Roman Empire, when we got to talk of that big beast, the beast that you could not really put anything to, it's just a combination of all of them, we found out in that chapter that there was more emphasis put on that fourth empire than there were of the other three. You remember that? Because that's where it dwelt. And then there was the little horn that come out, which is a type of the Antichrist that will rule upon the earth. And that's what it's going to be. And we find that will be destroyed in later days. Now, when we get to Daniel chapter number 8, and this may be a repeat to you, to some of you, and it may be boring in a sense, but you've got to get this figure. In chapter 8, we're seeing again the four world empires. And we're going to prove that to you tonight from the Word of God. In chapter number 8, you'll find it. This time, we're going to find that God's going to zoom in on these empires. And the ones that He's going to zoom in on is not going to be the fourth empire, the Roman Empire. It's going to be the second one. And the third one, it's going to be the Medo-Persian Empire, and which will turn over into the Grecian Empire, and the problem will be with those two, and we'll begin to look at that tonight. We'll see it. And we're going to find them represented as a ram and a he-goat. Amen. Now, let's look at this. We're going to begin to see it. Matter of fact, let me throw this in to you. You've got to remember that Daniel is moving backwards and forwards. Backwards and forwards. By that, saying that tonight, I'm saying this. The first four chapters is talking about who? Nebuchadnezzar. Get this in your mind. Nebuchadnezzar. The first four chapters is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. When we get to chapter number 5, we find Belshazzar's mentioned. Belshazzar, if you'll read the chapter number 5, go back to chapter 5. Let's follow them through. When we go to chapter 5, look at the verses. Chapter 5, Belshazzar the king made a great feast. And if you'll study that, you'll find out that the meeny, meeny, tickle, you, farson was wrote on the wall, the handwriting, and all it said was, you've been weighed in a balance and found wanting. And he lost his kingship. And that was the end of the Babylonian Empire in chapter number 5. So that means that this was given in the last part of the Babylonian Empire, chapter 5 was. Actually, somebody said it was in the fourth year, and from according to what I found out, it's in the fourth year of the rule of Belshazzar. The fourth year, basically, when you look at that, is about the fourth year. That's the last of it, because he's finished up in this chapter. Then we move to chapter number 6. When we get to chapter number 6, who do you see in front? Darius. Now, who is Darius? Darius is a Mede. He's a king of the Mede Empire. The Medo-Persian, or the Medians, and the Persians. And we've got some scriptures that talks about that. If you will, in chapter number 6, look at verse number 8. He's talking about down in the middle, right toward the end of it, the Medes and Persians. You see that? In verse 12, it says the Medes and Persians right there at the end. In the middle of verse number 15, it talks about the Medes and the Persians. So we find that Darius is in leadership in chapter number 6, as you look there. When we come to chapter number 7, who is it? Belshazzar. The first year of Belshazzar. Now, the first year of Belshazzar. The first year. Now, what's happened? We talked about the fourth year a while ago when he ended up. We're going back to the first year, you see. Daniel's going backwards again. So it's backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. When we get to chapter number 8, what is this? It's in the what? Third year of who? Belshazzar. This is the third year before that. So actually chapter 8 is coming before chapter number 6, is it not? If you look at that. Or it's actually coming before chapter 5. Before it, if it's put in chronological order. But we'll find that God placed it here for a purpose and a reason. You said, why do we need to know that? It's important to find out where we are in the space of time. In the ninth chapter, you'll find it'll be in the first year of Darius. Amen. In the tenth chapter, it's going to be in the third year of Cyrus. And in the 11th chapter, it's going to be the first year of Darius. So it moves back and forth. Do you see that? And God's trying to get us to seeing the kingships in the world. Now, chapter 8, verse 2. Let's look at these verses. And I'm going to give you some things tonight. And you can go home and get in your history books. By the way, this is the best history book you can find. Amen. And you can get in your history books and prove out what we're saying. You said, oh, I didn't know it was in history. Well, I did tell you that the first 6 chapters are historical, did I not? Then I said that the last 6 chapters are prophetical. But they also have some history in them. But it's history at the time that Daniel wrote them over in those dreams. It was yet future, so it was prophetical. But now we find that it has been fulfilled, some of it has, in the later chapters of the book of Daniel, you see. And so we call it historical to a sense, so it's got some history in it. So I want you to look at us in chapter number 8, and we'll look at verse number 2. We'll find that he had a vision in verse 1. Verse number 2, and I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace. Actually, he was not in that particular place. That was 230 miles east of Babylon. But what it was, he was taken in the spirit in his vision. You understand that? That's what the vision is. He's taken in that. Just like John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord took John and showed him a lot of things that happened in the book of Revelation. We found in the book of Acts how that Philip was caught up in the spirit and taken over from the... So God catches him away in Nehemiah. Basically the same thing happened. In Esther, a time or two. We'll find these things are happening. We find that these places have happened. And what it was is he's in the vision. God showed him. He's not actually in that place, but he's been placed there in the vision. Physically, he was not there. Now, when we come to chapter 8, verse number 3, he said, then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had 2 horns. Now, this gets interesting. We begin to see it. Let's look at verse number 3 and see what we see and what we find in chapter 8, verse number 3. Number 1, we find a ram. That's like a goat, or a ram is a type of, he said, a ram. And what had the ram? It had 2 horns. Here's a ram with 2 horns. Got it? Get that fixed in your mind. And the 2 horns were high. Now what are horns for on goats and rams? For power, for strength. That's their protection. Amen, is it not? And so that's it. Now, both of them were high. It said, and the 2 horns were high. In other words, they were tall horns. They had a lot of power, a lot of strength. That's where their strength was when it comes to fighting. That's how they were conquerors. That's what it's a type of. They had the horns. And then he said, but one was higher than the other. Amen. Now, can I go back and remind you that the bear had? The bear had ribs in its... that's right, had it. And we find that the bear was there. We find that the lion was there. And we find that the leopard was there. And you find that? We found over in the Word of God that one was stronger than the other. All right? Now, this is talking about the Medo-Persian Empire. You said, I don't believe that. I'll show you in a minute. And he said, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up when? Last. Now, the higher one. Now, what's happened is the Medo-Persian Empire, if you go back and study it, you'll find out this is a two-horned ram now. Got two horns. That's normal. Normal. They have two horns. Two high horns. And then finally, one gets higher than the other. But the higher, the one that gets higher than the other is the one that comes up last. When the Medo-Persian Empire was established, the Medes, were the strongest. They stayed the strongest for a long time. And then, and of course, that's where Darius was. They stayed strong there. And then we find that the Persians, under Cyrus, came through, and under the Persians, they got stronger and overtook the Persians, and they upset the apple cart. Now, Daniel's trying to tell us that that Medo-Persian Empire is going to fail. You said, I don't believe it's talking about it. Turn over to verse number 20, chapter number 8. Now, let's just follow it, see what God says. Now, we're going ahead. Usually, I don't do this, but I'm going to now. In verse number 20, he says, the ram, now that's what we've been talking about, right? The ram which thou sawest having how many horns? Two horns. Are what? Are the kings of who? Media and Persia. Now, who are them kings? One of them is Darius, and the other is Cyrus. Now, you study it, you'll find out I'm right, you'll find this out. So, that he tells us in verse number 20 who they are, does he not? Pretty plain, is it? All right? Verse number 21. And then we haven't got there yet, but he's going to give us an explanation of that in a minute. We'll just go on and skip that for a minute and go back to verse number 4. Now, we see something happening. Here's this ram. Here he is. By the way, the Medo-Persians. Let me just give you some things. Go back to your history book tonight and read this. This is why it's so exciting to me to teach the book of Daniel and also see how that history corresponds to the Word of God. Amen. Somebody said they're writing history they're writing the Bible today by history. Amen. History's been written by the Word. Ain't that right? Now, let's look at this just for a minute as we begin to see it. We'll look at the ram. In the Medes and the Persian Empire, the ram was stamped, the picture of the ram was stamped on their money. I even went and looked at some of the money, and they had the picture of the ram. That's just something they had. The ram was stamped on their money. And when they went to battle, when the Medes went to battle and the Persians went to battle in those days, they had a banner, like we fly our flag, the banner, it had the picture of a ram on it. And that was just the symbolic of it. And the Persian king, when he went out in the public and walked in the towns or wherever he went and went out in the public, anytime he was seen out in the public, he had a ram's head on his head. And that's how he arrayed himself. And so that's the way it was. Now the two horns shows us there's two powers. Amen. Darius the Mede. Look with me in chapter 11. Slide over to Daniel 11. We won't turn too far. But look at Daniel 11, please. And let's look at verse number 1. Also, in the first year of Darius, who is that? The who? Mede. See, he was the Median, or the Medo-Persian. He was a Medo king. That's who he was. And then in chapter 10, back up to chapter 10 and verse 1. It says that in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. So we've got those fixed up in our mind. Now, Darius was the dominant one until Persia took over, and then Cyrus took charge. So that brings us down through chapter 8, verse number 3. Let's go to verse number 4. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. They saw the ram pushing. Here they were. The ram was pushing. Where's it pushing? Westward, northward, and southward. How come it didn't go eastward? Because they come from the east. Amen. That's right. And every time that they went out conquering, that's the way they came. Medo-Persia always, go look at your history book. You find out they came from the east and they went southward and northward and westward every time. And that's the way they conquered the world or tried to conquer the world. So that's why that's there. That means that they came out from the east. Then it said, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. This ram. Here's this ram. And so they could not do it. And it said, on down it said, and out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. So he said he saw that. So there they are. They're going pretty heavy. Verse 5. Look at verse number 5. We're going to find something happening when we get to verse number 5. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat. That's a little bit different. We got another animal here. A he-goat came from the west. Tells what side he come from. The west. On the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. You see, what happened to the ram? He went over and took, that's when the Persians took over, the Medes, and that's what happened in verse 4. But in verse number 5, this is about 250 years before that, have been prophesied. In other words, Daniel's before time. It's still in the future when he's given this. And he said this, he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Had a notable horn. That notable horn, and that's power. Between his eyes, he had a notable horn. One horn. And that means tonight that he, when it means notable, it just means that he's going to be a notable character that's coming forward out of all these. And something's fixing to take place. The Grecian Empire is fixing to take over the Medo-Persian Empire. You're going to see this. And it said, well, what happened is he had a notable horn between his eyes, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. This goat runs into the ram and takes over. That's what he does. Now, this is showing that here come the Grecian Empire. The Grecian Empire was fixing to be set up here between verses number 4 and 5 and 6. And the Grecian Empire is fixing to take over, and it's going to be headed up by one notable horn. Somebody want to give a guess who that was? Alexander the Great. We talked about it. Now look, we talked about chapter 2, chapter 7, chapter 8. God has got us on this and keeping us on this to stay with it. And we're going to find some different things that's going to happen throughout the remainder of the book of Daniel. But we've got to get this fixed in our mind right now. We know from history books that all this took place. Alexander the Great did come. He came with much fury. That also said he touched not the ground. In other words, that means he was swift. Amen. Now, in verse number 5, he came from the west. Amen. He touched not the ground. He had a notable horn between his eyes. Now, if you want to go back and look at these things, verse number 21 explains what that is. Verse 21 said, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Amen. And that's Alexander. You see what happened? He took it over. And he did that. Now, isn't it strange? Or reckon it just a coincidence that the capital of the empire of Greece was was Aegea, and Aegea means goat city. Reckon that's just a coincidence? I don't think so. There's what they call the Aegean Sea. And the Aegean Sea, how many has ever heard of the Aegean Sea? All right. In history, some of y'all flunked history, you won't remember that. But the Aegean Sea, and the Aegean Sea many times has been called the Goat Sea. The Goat Sea. What about, reckon that's just kind of a coincidence, reckon? Huh? Amen. Well, the goat was used as one of the symbols of the Grecian Empire. That was one of the symbols, the goat. Amen. The goat. Now, just picture this just for a minute. And this is amazing. People have been trying to pinpoint the accuracy of the King James Bible and what they need to do tonight, just begin to follow their history. There's a man by the name of Bob Ingersoll, or Robert Ingersoll. Anybody ever heard of Bob Ingersoll? Sure you have. An old infidel. And I didn't know this, but I got to reading after him one day. Bob Ingersoll was the son of a Presbyterian preacher. He had been raised under the Word to a certain degree. Back down to the Presbyterians, had a little bit more to them than they are today. Amen. I've read under some Presbyterian preachers, and the old literature, you can get some of the old Presbyterian preachers, and they'll bless your heart today. I'm talking about the old ones, before it's all been changed. Matter of fact, there's some old Baptists you could read under heads today too. Amen. But we read after old Ingersoll. Here's what he said. He planned to make it, he began to attack the Word of God, criticize the Word of God, and he set out to prove that the Bible was wrong. Here's what he said. He said, somebody, here's his words, somebody ought to tell the truth about the Bible. He's now sense enough to know that the Bible is what tells the truth. But he said the preachers dare not because they would be driven from their pulpits. He said professors in colleges dare not because they would lose salaries. He said politicians dare not. In other words, they won't fight it. They would be defeated and wouldn't be voted for. Editors dare not because they would lose their subscribers. He said merchants dare not because they would lose their customers. Clerks dare not because they would lose their jobs. So he said, so I thought I would do it myself. Well, Ingersoll's done come and gone, and he hadn't proved anything. Amen. The Word of God is still around, hammering at the hearts and lives of men and women. Amen. Now, the Persians and the Medes and the Grecians, and let me just kind of give you this thought. The Zodiac, and I'm not one in for signs, but here's the signs, some of the signs of the Zodiac, and I'm not into that. By the way, I'm against all that. And I don't read tarot cards, and I don't go to fortune tellers. Amen. I don't have to have that. Although I got a whipping back yonder in grammar school because of some girls trying to tell me my fortune. And they made us go up on the blackboard and do it. Up on the blackboard. And all here, well, oh, it's embarrassing. But I'm not into that. Amen. But the signs of the Zodiac. Then Persia had the sign of the Aries. And that's the sign of the ram. And Greece had the sign of the Capricorn, which is the goat. Isn't that amazing? Reckon that just coincidence? Amen. But what it means here that he was swift means he did not touch the ground. He was fast. And reminds us the Grecian Empire, where it talked about the leopard with what? The four wings? You remember that? And the four horns. Remember that? And so it's talking about the Grecian Empire. And so that's what we find. The notable horn, many had power to dominate. That notable leader was Alexander the Great. And he started off in a young age. And by 22, he's already starting to conquer parts of the world. And was doing it. He was, they said, a military genius. Died at the age, somebody said 32, another said 33. Didn't know where he died, of alcohol or from was a homosexual. Where is something from that? But he got sick and died. And so he crushed the Medes and the Persians, according to history, around 334 to 331 B.C. Now that took place, and that's what happened. When we get down to verse number 7, I want to point out something here. In verse number 7, of course, in verse number 6, he said, in the fury of his power. The Greeks literally hated the Medes and the Persians. Literally hated them. Could not stand them. Amen. Reminds me of countries today. We've got countries like that can't stand each other. Right? So, in verse number 7, he said, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler. What's that word choler mean? A lot of times you probably just read over that and didn't pay no attention to it. Choler just means that he was full of rage, full of anger. He was terribly bitter. He was irritated. And he was passionate about his irritation. Amen. That's what choler means. So he moved with choler against him. He went out to strike them. He went out intending to put them down. So he said, with a Kohler against him and smote the ram and brake his two horns. Took the power away from them. That's what the horns represented. Took their power. There was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. It's gone. All the power, all the authority is gone. You find that? You see it? So here's where he took over and got that. Now, I want to point out some things, and here's where it gets a little different. Remember, and I want to look at this, verse number 8 said, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. That notable horn was broken. The great horns, the great horn on the goat was broke. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Do you remember what I talked about the other day? The leopard had four horns. Amen. Do you remember that? All right. And I told you that when Alexander the Great died, he had had, and I talked about his posterity, there's no children to leave it all to. He had two sons, I believe it were, but they got murdered. But what happened is the four generals took over and they began to divide the land. And I've got it put down here for you. And we'll see it. And if you want to write this in your notes. One of the generals was Cassander. C-A-S-S-A-N-D-E-R. Cassander. If I may not be pronouncing these right. But he ended up getting the Western Empire. The Western portion of the Grecian Empire. And then there was Seleucus, S-E-L-E-U-C-U-S, Seleucus, I guess the way you pronounce that, Seleucus. He got the Eastern Empire. And there was Ptolemy, P-T-O-L-E-M-Y, may not pronounce these right, but he got the Southern Empire, which is Egypt and Africa, North Africa. And then there was Lysimachus, I guess, Lysimachus, L-Y-S-I-M-A-C-H-U-S. He got the Northern Empire. Now, why are you mentioning that? Because here's what happened in verse number 8. It came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came forth a little horn. Now, we've seen a little horn before, have we not? Now, let's be careful right here. We're going to get confused. The little horn of chapter number 7 is different from the little horn of chapter number 8. Keep that in your mind. In chapter number 8, it was the little horn that represented and said that it's the Antichrist. It's a picture of the Antichrist, right? We talked about that. Now, the reason I'm going to say it's different is in chapter number 7, when did the little horn come up? Come up after the fourth empire. The fourth empire is the Roman Empire that we believe is going to be revived. We got that in our mind, have we not? I don't want to confuse you. So we know that he's not talking about the fourth empire here. We're at the Grecian Empire. And the Antichrist is not coming up at the Grecian Empire. Alright? We got that, haven't we? So we find in verse number 8, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them, out of what? Out of one of them four notable ones. All right. Came forth a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. That's important. What is this? One came out of that. If you go back and study your history book when you get home tonight, you're going to find that there's a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. How many has ever heard of that name? No? No. I thought you said you'd heard that before. She's sitting there and not... Have you gone to sleep on me? This boring to you? Amen. Antiochus Epiphanes. A-N-T-I-C-H. Let me see if I can get A-N-T-I... O-C-H-U-S. His last name's E-P-I-P-H-A-N-E-S. Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes came out of Seleucus. It came out from him. So he took over. He began to be. Now, what it's going to do in chapters 8, verse number 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, is going to point to this one little horn, and this little horn is laying it out to say to you, he's the forerunner of the Antichrist that's going to come in the next after the next world empire. That's what he is. He's not the Antichrist, but he's a picture of it. So you begin to watch what he does, and that's what the Antichrist will do in the tribulation hour. Amen. When he begins to take his rule and begins to take his reign. And you're going to see this. And I want to tell you from this, I'll give you this much. Antiochus Epiphanes, and if you want to find out some of this, you go to the book of Maccabees. You know, have you ever heard of the book of Maccabees? Anybody ever heard of that? That's history. Amen. Now that's not a Bible. Amen. It's not Scripture. I'm not out of the Word of God. I'm telling you from the book of Maccabees, which is history, and goes back and records some of this stuff. Here's what it was saying. The book of Maccabees recorded this. And the king sent letters, and he's talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, sent letters by messengers to Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. He directed them to follow customs strange to their land, to forbid the burnt offerings and sacrifices and drink offerings. To disobey would mean death. He desecrated the temple and destroyed their worship in God. That's what Antiochus Epiphanes done. And the reason I mention him, that's exactly what the Antichrist will do in the tribulation hour. He will take over and say he's God. And he's going to take all that, all the right from them. Now let's look at this. The Bible said he's going to come toward the south and toward the east. He's coming in from the south, he's coming in from the east, and toward the pleasant land. Do you know what the pleasant land is tonight? Israel, Jerusalem, God's people. Now, Daniel didn't put that in there just to take up space. That pleasant land means God's people, Jerusalem, Israel. Now, and it waxed great even to the host of heaven and cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Who's the stars? God's people, the Jew. And I'll give you scriptures to write down and you go look these up and I'll guarantee you in chapter 8, or chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, chapter 15 in verse number 5, the Jews are classified as stars. He said to Abraham, look at the stars. Your people is going to be numbered as the stars. You see that? And so the stars are representing the Jews. So this Antiochus Epiphanes is a man in history that has taken a place. Now, I'm not the only one that teaches this and preaches it. About every one I've ever read after and studied after agree with this is Antiochus Epiphanes. Verse number 11, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. In other words, what's the Antichrist going to do? He's going to say he's God. And this is what this fella set out to do. And the host was given him against what? The daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. See? And so, what happened? Antiochus Epiphanes done all this. He was a mean man. They give him his name, but they give him a nickname and called him Madman. And he persecuted and killed Jews. We talk about Hitler. We talk about some of those that come through in the Holocaust. This man, Epiphanes, Antiochus Epiphanes, he was one of the same ones. Like him. Like them, and went over there and killed and executed thousands and thousands of Jews. I read some of the things that happened. One woman, she had two sons. Two women had two sons, and because the two sons wouldn't do as Epiphanes said to do, he went out there and he killed them. And he wrapped them around the neck of the two ladies and rode them up the street. And then there's one woman had seven sons, and they wouldn't do what the king said to do. And he went out and fried them on pans over hot coals in front of their mother. And then when he got through, he poked her eyes out and let her go. He's mean, mad. I'm trying to tell you that tonight to let you know that the Antichrist is going to do those things. Things like that are going to be similar. That's what's going to happen during the tribulation hour. They don't have the mark of the beast. Amen. Now, that they're going to be facing all these things. And he's just a forerunner of that. Now, let's go down to verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice? He also, they said, took pigs and offered pigs in sacrifice. He took away. And listen, they could not worship. The Jews could not worship. They would not go around it. Could not go around it. He stopped all their daily sacrifice. That's how come the Jews did not do it. Amen. That's why they didn't do it. They stopped it. Now, read on. It said here, and the transgression of desolation to give both the saints wherein the host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, unto two, how long is it going to be? Unto 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now if you'll look that up, that's 2,300 days. If you'll divide that out, using a 360 day per year, which is prophetical, you're going to find out that that comes close to what? How many years? Huh? No, it's going to come longer than that. 2,300 days, divide that by, somebody divide that by 360 tonight. Amen. We'll find out what it is. I know what it is. Huh? All right. It's going to be a little while, but I'll tell you it's 6 years and 4 months. Amen. It's actually 6.39 or 38. It comes out to 6 years and 4 months. Now, what significant number is that? That's not our 1,260 days. That's our 3.5 years. But what happened? Why? Remember, this is a prophecy about a worldly kingdom. This is not talking about the tribulation. It's a type of it. And it's type of him. But what happened? There was a man by the name of Judas Maccabeus that came in, I believe, let me see if I can find the date on that, 164 A.D. after Christ. He came through and he cleansed the temple and took out all the stuff that they had and cleansed the temple. And the temple's been cleansed. And if you look at the time that he done that and go back in history to the time when Alexander the Great took over, it will come out to that 2,300 days. Amen. How long? Until God cleanses. He cleansed the temple. Now, the worship's not in effect, but it will be one of these days. So that's what this is. So then verse number 15 tells about the interpretation. I'm not going to get into that. You can read the rest of it. You can find out that every bit of this is pointing from verse 15 down through verse number 27. He goes back and tells it's going to be these four kingdoms coming in. And at the end of it, then we're going to find out that the Lord's going to come. But look at verse 27. I'm going to close here. And I, Daniel, what? Fainted. He saw too much. If you'll read your Bible and study your history, you'll find out that it corresponds to what I said tonight. Isn't that amazing how that God wrote this hundreds of years before it ever took place, and it come to place and took place just like God said it would? Isn't it amazing? That's right. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. He fainted and got sick. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Now, how come we understand it? We got history to go back and see it. They couldn't see it. Daniel said, it's coming. He didn't even know it himself. It made him sick. Many times he did not understand it. More than one time in the book of Daniel, Daniel couldn't comprehend it. But I'm glad we can see it tonight. So I hope through the first 8 chapters we can see where we are in reference to time. See, everything's pointing to the coming of the Lord and to the tribulation hour and the Jews and how that they're going to be dealt with. From here on out, we're going to find out how that the Jews are being troubled and dealt with through the remainder of this. We get into chapter number 9. It turns around a little bit. And we're going to find another vision in there. We're not getting into it tonight. I hope you've been reading it. Amen. You might as well go ahead and read chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12 3 or 4 times. And see if when we get on it, we can stop some of your confusion and help you out with it when we get there. Amen. I pray this will help you in some way. This is history tonight, but we have to study it to get it. Amen. Understand? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for being here with us tonight. I pray, God, that we, as we leave, might be strengthened, encouraged, maybe touched by the presence of God. And Lord, may we take these things that we said tonight, may they be a blessing and a help and a strength and encouragement and an enlightenment to us that we might know what's going on in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that Your Word is so real and so powerful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.